Thank you, Lewis. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen and gentle beings, for shutting the hell up so I can hear myself think at last. There will be no more hysteria, by order. I will not have the honorable members of this venerable institution running about like chickens who've just had their heads chopped off. I will have calm, rational discussion at all times, from all members. I know I will have this, because I have just given my champion orders to shoot a hole through the next MP he sees panicking. You don't have any problems with that order, do you, Sir Deathstalker?
Not in the least, Your Majesty. In fact, I'm just in the mood to shoot somebody.
The House looked at Lewis and had no trouble believing him. They remembered him in the Neumann riot. In a way, it was almost comforting to have a Deathstalker in the House, doing what he did best. Silence and watchful eyes became the order of the day, as the honorable members sat down again and looked to their king and speaker to see what he would do next. Douglas nodded, satisfied, and turned his gaze on the blue steel humanoid figure standing calmly among the aliens.
When you want logic, go to a computer. Talk to me, Shub. What can you tell this house about the Terror? What it is, where it comes from, and what it might do next?
The robot representing the AIs of Shub slowly turned its expressionless face towards the throne.
We received the same warning that you did. We possess no further information, no extra records, nothing on the nature or capabilities of the Terror that you do not already have. Like you, we never thought the Terror would come so soon. We will send remote probes to the next inhabited system in its path. Have them monitor the situation when the Terror next appears in real space. Perhaps by studying the nature of its arrival, we can determine where it exists the rest of the time. Perhaps you can come up with some way to go in after it. We have weapons that can destroy worlds, or creatures the size of worlds, but the Terror is like nothing we have ever seen before. It doesn't seem to be real as we are real, limited as we are limited. It is clearly an extra-dimensional creature. It is possible that no weapon of ours will be able to affect it. You saw how Corcoran sensor drones changed and mutated just through continued exposure to the Terror's presence, just as technology on the rim planets was affected. And Shub is, of course, technology. The implications are disturbing. But we will send our probes and study the information they send for as long as they last. Information is always useful. All data will be shared equally, of course. I'm sorry, Your Majesty. You came to Shub for logic, and it seems all we can offer are guesses and possibilities. Though, there is one weapon that might prove useful against the Terror, should you wish to make use of it.
A weapon? Something you created during your long war against humanity?
No, nothing of ours. No one knows who or what created this weapon, and only you can decide whether or not you wish to use it.
The maze. They're talking about the Madness Maze. Owen said we'd have to transcend through the maze to face what was coming. We could have evolved, made living weapons of ourselves, become greater than we are long and long ago. If we hadn't been frightened of the maze...
We chose to progress cautiously, and with good reason. The maze kills people or drives them insane. That's all it's done since Owen's time. No, Shub, I know you're desperate to go through the maze, but I can't let you use even the Terror as an excuse. The risks are too great. The Madness Maze stays closed and isolated until we've tried absolutely everything else. Some cures are far worse than the disease.
The Terror just wiped out 7 populated worlds. Billions of people dead in horror and despair. What's 10,000 volunteers dead in the maze compared to that? If only one person were to go through and survive, to transcend like Owen and Hazel...
Are you volunteering to go in? To risk almost certain death or madness just on the off chance of becoming like your ancestor?
I don't know. The maze scares the crap out of me. The odds aren't good.
The odds stink! I won't risk killing the brightest and the best, the bravest and most heroic of my people, just on the chance the maze might throw up a miracle. No one gets into the maze. In fact, this house had better cut orders to increase the levels of quarantine protection. The last thing we need is streams of religious zealots trying to force their way in. Dead martyrs piling up on Hayden would only complicate the situation further.
And of course, we don't want rogue superhumans running loose about the Empire, answering to no one but themselves.
Douglas looked at him sharply.
No, we don't.
He turned away to face the Esper representative, a tiny woman barely 4 feet tall, with golden skin and leaf-green hair, and the biggest overbite Lewis had ever seen. Douglas nodded courteously to her.
I need the Oversoul to organize all the Espers on the outlying planets, just in case the Terra changes its course. The Espers can be the Empire's early warning system. Let us know if there's any change in the Herald's direction or speed. Since you don't rely on tech, you should be able to operate longer than most.
The tiny woman nodded briefly.
We're on it, Your Majesty.
We ought to set up a watch all along the rim. Who's to say there's only one terror?
Shut up, Lewis. You're depressing me.
And that was when the Swart Alfair, the representative of Mog Mor, left the alien section and stepped out onto the floor of the house. 10 feet tall, the huge, crimson-skinned, bat-like creature was an imposing presence, and it knew it. It wrapped its membranous wings around its vaguely humanoid shape like a great ribbed cloak, while thick blue ectoplasm boiled around it, churning mists containing images that came and went too quickly to be studied. The Swart Alfair made sure it had everyone's attention, and then it turned to face the king. Its eyes were black on black, its snouted gargoyle face unreadable. The Swart Alfair pretended not to notice that Lewis was now covering it exclusively with his disruptor.
Mog Mor has an offer to make to king and house and humanity. Mog Mor offers help and support in time of mutual need. The destroyer has come at last and must be faced and conquered if any are to survive. So, the time for silence has ended, and the Swart Alfair must talk of many things. We have technology you do not even suspect. Technology advanced beyond anything you have, beyond anything in your wildest dreams. We have weapons, ships, machines that think, greater and more powerful than you can imagine. Kept secret, unsuspected, for time of need. We can blow apart worlds, put out suns, perhaps even stop the destroyer. Mog Mor will make all this available to humanity and Empire. In return for certain promises and assurances.
The king looked around the house, but the honorable member seemed just as stunned as he was.
Promises?
We want things.
The bat creature showed all its pointed teeth in something that might have been meant as a smile.
We want to colonize worlds of our own. Rich, useful, pleasant worlds that would normally go only to human colonists. There are such worlds close to our home planet. We lay claim to them. They are already colonized by humans, so they will have to leave, so Swart Alfair can occupy them. We want more of a presence in the Empire. We want a seat and a vote in the House. For every world on which Swart Alfair live, as long as required population levels are maintained, we wish to grow and expand and scatter ourselves across the stars as humans do. This is our price. For weapons and ships and technology beyond your expectations. Swart Alfair are very old, asleep for a long time, but waking up now. Embrace us or fall to the destroyer.
Yes. Well, that's a very interesting offer, which I'm sure the House will want to discuss in some depth. In the meantime, we'll take your offer under advisement and get back to you as soon as we can.
Don't leave it too long.
The ectoplasm boiled thickly around it, despite everything the house's air conditioning could do to disperse it.
We have tech that can hide us from the destroyer, as it hid us from the Empire and its investigators in days of old. You have nothing like it. And no, Your Majesty. Mogmor feels no duty, no responsibility to offer it to the Empire free of charge. Not so long as the Empire remains poisoned by pure humanity philosophy. We're going now. Mogmor will not be seen again in the house. Call Mogmor when you are ready. When you are scared enough. You have no choice. Really?
The tall, scarlet bat creature stalked out of the house, its ectoplasm following it. Douglas didn't know whether to feel insulted or relieved when it was finally gone.
If nothing else, he does know how to make an exit, the ham.
You think he really means it?
Who knows with the Swart Owl Fair? They've been in the Empire for over a century, and we've still no idea what makes them tick. What we do know, or more often suspect, is frankly disgusting. You don't even want to know how they go about breeding. While they've never been known to volunteer information, they rarely answer direct questions, and they've never once allowed xenobiologists to visit their planet. Creepy bastards, the lot of them, darling. And arrogant with it. Possibly with good cause. They lived right here in Lionstone's backyard, and she never even knew. Maybe they could hide themselves from the Terror. And if they can do that...
What else can they do? It could be a bluff, or it could be our salvation. My head hurts.
Do they really ask so much? A few worlds compared to what we stand to gain? Or lose?
But if they're so powerful, why don't they just take what they want?
Wonderful. More complications. Just what we needed. Any other thoughts that won't do terrible things to my blood pressure?
Just the one. And I could pretty much guarantee you're not going to like it. A really unpleasant comparison has occurred to me. What the Terror did to those people on the Rim Planets looked an awful lot like what the Elves did to those people in the arena. Possessing and then feeding on their suffering and emotions.
You're right. I don't like it. In fact, I hate it. You keep that thought strictly to yourself for now, Lewis. That's an order. There's still a lot of general resentment out there over the way the Espers shut down the Neumann riot. I don't want that stirred up again. The last thing we need is even more anti-Esper feeling. We're going to need the Oversoul's help, and I can't afford to have them feeling alienated or unappreciated. If you want to talk to anyone, Lewis, talk to the Oversoul. Maybe it can derive something useful from your comparison. Otherwise, you keep your mouth shut on the subject.
Oh, hell. Now what?
Douglas and Lewis looked around in time to see one of the honorable members striding out onto the floor of the house, his head held high. Michel Dubois, representative for Viramond, stopped directly before the throne and bowed deeply.
Your Majesty, honored members, it seems to me there is one obvious answer to the threat of the Terror that has not been touched on yet.
Is there, by God? You do surprise me, Dubois. I can't think how we missed it. Feel free to enlighten us.
It's really quite simple, Your Majesty.
Dubois spread his arms in a familiar, expansive gesture.
Owen Deathstalker must return to save us all, as he did before. Viramond's noblest son, the greatest hero humanity has ever known. His legend always said he would return in the hour of the Empire's greatest need, and we on Viramond have never believed the blessed Owen was dead. He cannot die. He passed through the madness maze and moved beyond his humanity, becoming something finer and more glorious. He was our savior in Lionstone's time and can be again. We must call out to him with one great voice, implore his help, and pray for his return.
This is getting needlessly messianic.
The honorable members loved the idea. Not least because it didn't actually require them to do anything. Let the blessed Owen save humanity, as he had 2 centuries before. An almost religious hysteria took over the house, as though they'd just been tossed a lifeline by God herself. Dubois smiled benevolently about him. Douglas's face remained impassive, but Lewis was scowling openly, his ugly face dark and disturbed. Jessamine looked at him worriedly. He still had his gun in his hand. Douglas waited patiently for the din to die down. And when it didn't, he gestured to Lewis, who immediately raised his disruptor. Dubois fell back a step.
Unfortunately, all the records concerning Owen Deathstalker's final fate, whatever it may have been, are lost to us. Destroyed 200 years ago by Robert and Constance and the Parliament of that time, for reasons that no doubt seemed good to them. As to the others who passed through the madness maze and became superhuman, we know Jack Random and Ruby Journey are dead, killed in the last great confrontation with Shub before their awakening. Diana Virtue brought the bodies home in what was left of the old Deathstalker standing, and now Jack and Ruby lie in state in Victory Gardens behind this house, buried in heroes' graves with statues raised to their honored memory. You're welcome to pray for their return, but I wouldn't expect an early reply. Tobias Moon remains on Lacrimae Christi, a hermit, whom no one has seen in over a century. We will, of course, try to reach him, but according to the legends, his abilities were nothing compared to Owen's. And then there's Captain Silence, who also disappeared a century ago. His fate is much a mystery as the blessed Owen's. Honorable members, we should remember that Owen Deathstalker left us at the hour of his greatest triumph, and no one knows why or where he went. The heroes of old are gone, all of them. I say to this house, we cannot just sit back and wait for the blessed Owen to show up again, to save the day one more time. Legends are legends. We must deal with facts. Worlds are in danger. We must make preparations to defend ourselves.
Of course. But Owen knew of the terror. He knew it was coming, and he seemed to know how it might be defeated. So, while we raise the armies of humanity to stand ready to hold back the terror, I say we send out our greatest heroes to search for Owen Deathstalker. Send out the Paragons on their greatest and noblest quest to find the beloved Owen and bring him home!
The house really liked the sound of this idea. Douglas considered the matter and found he did too, for all sorts of practical reasons. Send the Paragons out on a quest. Even beyond the parade, it would help repair their image, while getting them away from the general population long enough for everyone to forget the excesses of the Neumann riot. And who knew? They might just find Owen. Douglas ran this by Lewis, who nodded slowly in agreement.
Do you want me to join the quest? I am his descendant, even if not directly. I am a Deathstalker.
You're not a Paragon anymore, you're my champion. But yes, Lewis, I think you should go. As a Deathstalker.
And because it's a really good way to get rid of me. Send me off on a quest, away from Jessamine. He knows I'll go if he asks. Because I'm a Deathstalker, and I know my duty. Because he's the king, and my friend. Oh, Jessamine, I finally found you. And now I have to go away and leave you to marry another man. Please understand.
He looked across at Jessamine, but she wasn't looking at him. King Douglas solemnly gave his approval to the idea of a great quest for the Paragons. He officially put the proposal to the House.
Aye!
It was decided that the quest would begin in 2 weeks' time, after the royal wedding, and after some of the details and practicalities could be sorted out. Because when you got right down to it, no one had a clue just where to send the Paragons to look for the missing Owen. It was a big empire, with hundreds of planets well divorced from the mainstream. There were lots of places a man could go if he wanted to stay hidden, as many a Paragon in pursuit of a villain had already discovered to their cost. Michel Dubois fixed Lewis with a cold, accusatory stare.
You are a descendant of the blessed Owen, Sir Champion. You bear the Deathstalker name. Do you swear before this house that neither you nor any member of your family have any old secret records concerning Owen's fate? Some concealed family history preserved in defiance of the old edict? If you know anything about Owen Deathstalker's fate or his possible whereabouts today, I charge you, on the authority of this house, to reveal those secrets to us now and turn over any and all papers and documents your family may possess, that they may be studied by experts.
My branch of the family are only distant cousins to Owen. We only took the Deathstalker name as a courtesy. We don't know anything more than you do, Michelle. King Robert and Queen Constance were very thorough. You have to wonder if perhaps they had good reason.
And let me remind the honorable member for Viramon that no one makes demands of my champion. Nor should you take it on yourself to claim the authority of the house in any matter without first going through me as speaker. Now return to your seat before I have you charged with contempt. You've had your moment of glory. You've got your quest. Settle for that.
Thanks, Douglas.
You're welcome, Lewis.
They didn't look at each other, and Michel Dubois didn't budge from his position in front of the throne.
As to the matter of the quest, Your Majesty, it is imperative...
Instead, Dubois started haranguing Douglas over where the funding was to come from to support the Paragon's quest. He was determined his quest should not get bogged down in financial subcommittees, as had threatened to happen with the Parade of the Paragons. The king shot down Dubois' problems and objections one by one, backed by the rest of the house, but Lewis wasn't listening. He was looking down at the black gold ring on his finger. The Deathstalker ring. Owen's old ring. A solid piece of legend that had unexpectedly resurfaced from the past. Where had that mysterious little man called Vaughn got it from? Why had he been so determined that Lewis should have it? Was the ring's return a sign? A warning? And why had Lewis felt so strongly that he shouldn't mention it to Dubois? Lewis studied the ring on his finger, and a cold breeze caressed the back of his neck. The old clan ring made him a Deathstalker. Hell, the Deathstalker, inasmuch as anything could now. It was like having Owen looking over his shoulder, giving him his approval, and pointing him on to greater things. Which was a scary bloody thought, if you liked.
Deathstalker luck. Always bad.
We shall announce this great quest at the Parade of the Paragons, when a large part of the Empire will be watching.
An excellent suggestion, Your Majesty!
Lewis came out of his reverie to find that Dubois had finally, reluctantly, returned to his seat, and the House was agreeing to the Speaker's proposal that the Parade of the Paragons would be an excellent time to announce the quest to the Empire, to gain maximum publicity. The media were going to need some good news to put up against the coming of the Terror. As it was, peacekeepers all across the world would be working overtime to prevent riots and panic in the streets. Lewis snapped to attention again.
And in order to demonstrate my faith and dedication to this quest, my champion, Lewis Deathstalker, will bravely lead the Paragons in this, what is possibly the most important venture we will ever face.
Lewis leaned in close beside Douglas.
Are you sure you want to do this? You said it yourself. I'm no longer a Paragon. Why not let Finn lead the parade? It was his idea, after all.
I want you to lead the parade because you're my champion. To show I still have faith in you after the Neumann riot. And I'm still not sure about Finn. The word is Emma Steele has been doing all his work lately. He probably only came up with the parade so he could lead it and smile for the cameras. No, Lewis. You'll lead the parade because I say so. Any more problems?
Well, since you ask, do you really think it's a good idea to scatter the Paragons across the Empire on a quest that's probably going to come to nothing? Who's going to keep order on the worlds while the Paragons are all off chasing ghosts and shadows?
The Peacekeepers. They can hold the fort until my Paragons return. Let them earn their money for once. They're always saying they want more responsibility. The parade and the quest are necessary, Lewis. Necessary for public morale. You'll lead the parade, and you'll smile while you do it. That's an order from your king. Do I make myself clear?
Very clear. Can I ask one more question? Assuming Owen is alive out there somewhere, assuming we find him, what if he doesn't want to come back? If he stayed missing all these years, he just might have a damn good reason.
You tell him to come back.
Douglas looked straight into Lewis's eyes for the first time.
or everything he did, everything he achieved, will have all been for nothing.
Oh, great. I'm sure that's just what he's going to want to hear.